When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Like, because they can't sell Enzo, they can't sell Caicedo if these players wanted to, because their market value is half what they paid.
Yeah. And not only that, they have to play them.
They have to play them.
You have to play both of them. They have to play and thrive.
Have you ever heard of anything more crazy than this? They have to play the players, they cannot sell them, and they've committed wages for the next 8 years. They've also committed a £75 million spend per transfer window for the next 8 years. On the players they already have.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this ever.
And they had Tammy Abraham, Mason Mount, Reece Jones, Brozier, Ian Matson, Levi Cole, all just sitting there.
Just there.
Should we go spend some money? No, but I really want to spend some money. Well, no, but look, we've got all these lads. Unbelievable. But yeah,
that's
but
so
I really
good.
Want to spend some money though, Todd. No, look, we've got all these guys, and let's see if these guys work out. They get to 25, and they're not good enough. We've got them on low wages because they're academy players, and we can sell them then, and we get 100% profit. And then from there, we can make a smart decision, give ourselves a bit of time, and really go for it. No, but I want to spend some money now. One sec, I'll go to reception and get a spoon. He's gone.
Fucking yes.
Okay. Well, if that's not a hook to start a podcast, I don't know what is. Okay. Right. Amazing stuff. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to James and Flav. For now, just to say before Flav kicks us off here with a crucial point that he's been working on all week. Tom Davis in our chat is one of our patrons, one of our moist slugs, is steaming, although he started to misspell his words. So we were calling it. He's gone to get a spoon to see if he can prove it. And he's currently in Vang Ven, which I think is in Thailand or Vietnam or he's in Lao.
Lao.
So by the end of this podcast, you will hopefully see a picture of a drunk man in a hot destination holding a spoon.
Where else are you going to get that?
When you're ranking your podcasts. Oh, well, they do theirs on Zoom. So that takes off 4 points. Well, have you got blokes with spoons?
I called Boovy up. I pulled Boovy up on that, saying, why are you digging out the fact that we're remote? I said to him, people that don't know, the club did a listing, a ranking system of all the football podcasts out there. We were up there. We were like the second best tier, which I was happy with.
Do you know what I felt to me that it was like, we like the lads, but we don't listen to the podcast, so we're not gonna hammer them. That's what it felt like.
Boovy listens. Boovy listens.
No, he doesn't.
I think he does. Okay. And I said, look, I don't care if you don't listen to the podcast or if you don't like the fact that we do it remotely, but can you please not put ideas in James's head so that I have to come to London? that's all I care about.
Do you know what? Maybe we should just chill down for 2 hours. Would that be the end of the podcast? Would that be the end?
No, I would do it for you.
I would be like, fair. Should we leave it then? Maybe that, there was like a rule now. You had to be in the same room. Like, should we just leave it then?
Should we end the podcast? Because I don't want to travel. No, I think it's it would be worth the time. I'm going to TalkSport later, and that's in London. Anyway,
probably make more money than this.
No, you'd be surprised.
Good. That's not important.
Yeah. No. What's important right now is can I ask you a question, Jim?
Yes, you can.
been wrong. I'm wrong. I'm wrong about a lot of things in football. I realised, James, I know nothing about football. Like, I'm admitting it now. If I've ever said anything about your football club, if there are Arsenal fans out there that will get frustrated by things I've said, because fundamentally what happened at the weekend was a performance that I wasn't expecting. And it really changed the dynamic about how you thought about how this season's going to go, because a lot of questions, it was just blown wide open, wasn't it?
In football, there's always a lot of noise, isn't there, Flav? And a lot of people talk. A lot of people, they say stuff and they feel quite certain about it, and then they change their mind quite quickly after that. Flip-flopping, I'd call it.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say this to Arsenal fans right now. How good is Richarlison? Mm. How good is he?
Yeah.
He is mustard. And I said, Stephen's already guessed it.
You're wrong.
I was not wrong, mate. I was like cruel. I was cruel with it. That's the problem. I'm ashamed at how cruel I was. I said he's barely a footballer. Barely a footballer.
Yeah, you did.
I did say that. I said it's the worst way to spend £60 million. Worst way to spend £60 million, right?
You're quite lucky in the fact that the bulk of what you're said is just audio, not video, because you could have a little Rory clip, couldn't you, on Richarlison? They could easily.
I don't think I'm relevant enough for someone to spend time with that. Okay. I mean, I'd love that, but I don't. Luckily, I'm not Rory Jennings, and Rory is always, you know, he's gonna get clipped up, whereas no one cares what I say. Really,
did you see Rory's response to it?
No.
So Rory's responded. So if you don't know, our boy Rory, he's been clipped, severely clipped, and I'd love it, if you haven't seen this, I'm intrigued to know how you feel about this. So what we're going to do in this podcast, by the way, is we're going to talk about players because it's a good time of the season. I was watching the Chelsea game, and actually then I watched a couple of fan channels, and the fan channels I watched. How they were talking about Chelsea afterwards. And then I thought, hang on, let me go back one video, like to Wolves. And mate, there are titles where it's over for Poch.
Yeah, well, I thought it was too, to be fair.
Right. And then one game, it's like, I'm just proud of him. I'm just proud of what he's done with this group. And it's like, oh, are you serious? So Rory is not the only one who's flip-flopping. But it was a very good clip from this Mikey guy. And Rory said, this is good. It's a well-made and comical video. I just don't quite understand the point. Opinions are allowed to change. They should change as the facts change. Pochettino started okay. I was desperate for it to work. But frankly, he has failed in every way imaginable since. Apart from still being in two club competitions. But it's a cruel world, is what I'm saying. The world of opinion is a cruel world. So I put out a tweet asking people for who are these players or clubs, and we'll run through them, a list of them, where people are going, he's trash, he's good, he's trash, he's good. It's not their season, it is their season. And some people that now need to either accept they're wrong, like you, humbly, gracefully, with cap in hand, on head.
So wrong.
Or you've got to what? In your best Scottish accent.
Double dun.
You got double dun.
So don't back dun. Double dun.
Double dun. Okay.
So the words of
I'm happy to apologise if it feels right. And if Jot's good, we've got enough road for any outcome. Chelsea could still... Like they could so easily lose to Crystal Palace on Monday, like so easily.
Are we going to do double down or back down on Poch? Because
let's start with Chelsea. Good. Yeah, Chelsea and Poch is good.
Todd Boehly is confronted with this right now. He has to make a decision. The funny thing about it is that they probably can't actually afford to get rid of him and pay his compensation up. Apparently, Potter is still owed £13 million. I read on Twitter the other day. 13 million he's still owed from I don't know what the agreement is or when that has to be paid, probably by the end of the contract. So if he was giving it till 2026, they probably have until that point maybe to pay it in full. Anyway,
fucking a bloody love kicking it down the road, don't they? Nah, we're good for it. 30 million. You sure you're going to give me 30 million? Yeah, just sign there. We'll give it to you. What, immediately?
13.
Yeah, no, but 30. Even fucking hell, 13 million's enough.
Yeah.
But like, the fact is, like, everything's like on a credit card with Chelsea. It's just like, yeah, pay it a bit. Pay it a bit.
It's bizarre. It's so bizarre that when they were doing what they were doing, this amortization of transfer fees and wages and all that, they're doing what they're doing. And at no point, it seemed, or perhaps no one was in a position to explain to Todd Bowley, or he had lots of yes men around him, that there's a reason why clubs don't do this. No, you haven't found a loophole. This isn't something that, oh my God, why isn't everybody doing this? Do you think Daniel Levy didn't know about amortization? Of course he does. Of course he did. But there's a reason why you don't do it, because it's football can be chaos. And you saw last night that when Chelsea went from being hopeless against Wolves to fantastic, like, you can't take anything away from that performance. It was incredible. It did not look like a side that was in any has any issues at all. You know, Cole Palmer was back in a false nine at times. Jackson was playing off the wings at times, and it just seemed to work. You got the bloke on the right. I can't remember his name. Is it
Madueke?
Mate, what a player! What a player on his day,
mate. Where does this come from? It's one performance though. Like, slow down. Can everyone slow down?
Of course, absolutely. And I'm not saying that this changes much. But to go away to Villa Park and play that way and be so convincing, like, Villa didn't have a sniff practically the entire game. Made the first
at
5 minutes.
Ten, as well,
Villa. At home, that's what I'm saying. So to Villa were poor, as Ben says in the chat, but Chelsea were also excellent. You have to give them credit. And I've been banging the last time, not to keep dropping TalkSport in, right? But I had a conversation on TalkSport about 3 months ago, and I said, I don't feel like the problems of Chelsea are as bad as people think. On the pitch, off the pitch, they are in a lot of trouble. Like, regardless of what happens this season, without Champions League football, they're in lots and lots of trouble.
Which they're not getting.
So they're not getting it, no. So they financially, they're going to struggle with FFP. They need to sell £100 million of homegrown talent. You can do that in one window, maybe two windows. You're soon running out of players that you can sell for any kind of value. They've got to sell £100 million before June 30th, James.
Do you know this? Yeah.
Right. So clubs that are willing to buy. So if we're going to Conor Gallagher, are we going to go and do Chelsea a favour? No. We're going to go in there and go, it was 40 million in the summer, but now it's 20. And they go, well, no, it's not 20. And it is, because it's how much we're willing to pay right now.
Yeah.
And there's going to be no bidding war. There isn't going to be like one club going up and up and up and up. Chelsea have painted themselves into a corner, and clubs are going to take full advantage of it. But on the pitch, it's a different story. They look like a team full of quality players, good players, not as much as what they paid for them. £1 billion spend weighs heavy around Poch's head and the player's head, but really it's not their fault what the club did to get them in. There is something good about what Chelsea are doing. It's just not always evident, but you can see it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I utterly disagree. I think the complete opposite of everything that you've pretty much said. Aside from what the one thing that could work for them is that Poch's sort of class will kind of get a tune out of them in the end. Like,
yeah.
This conversation feels, and like, to be fair, everyone's always coming from things from different angles, and I don't like Chelsea, so I would love them to fail. But you've got the Chelsea, you've got the Poch credit pulling at you a little bit. You've seen the good that he's done. Right. And so I don't dislike Poch at all. I think he's a really good manager. But I just think there are so many elements at play. And you talk about the recruitment sort of hanging around sort of the necks of them. And Catherine made a really good point. As I say, if you want to become a patron, please do. Links in the description. Less than a London pint. And actually, someone said something. Well, you need to put forward other things apart from London pints, because people who aren't in London aren't bothered about London pint. So
Who said that? Who said that?
Less than a Big Mac meal. Everyone loves a Big Mac meal. Come on.
No, whoever said that, you know, mind your own bloody business. We'll say whatever we want, right?
Come down to London and say that.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? I don't even live in London.
But Catherine said, mm-hmm. and this sound, so I before I have a go at the sentence, I totally agree with what she said, right? She said they just wanted it more, right? And that feels like a top line thing, right? But I utterly agree with Catherine. I think Chelsea wanted it more because I think their egos were hurt over the last couple of games. But what I can't get away from is that the pressure that they're under, I always think you often it's very hard to get dragged away from the storyline that the media wants to kind of put on you a little bit. That can weigh heavy on you as well. And I don't think overall, I don't think they are a team. I think they're soft. If you look at the goals, so we were going to put a video out about Chelsea and the problems with them. The goals that they concede generally are really soft goals. And the teams that they kind of turn up against, it is those sort of big games. They've actually in the big games, Tottenham, I mean, Liverpool away, they got eaten up, fair enough. But like Liverpool at home earlier in the season, Arsenal got a draw, Man City got a draw. So top three, they've got points against those guys. This Villa game, they for their own personal pride, they kind of knew that it was on, right? But actually, it's the games against Wolves and Brentford and the mid-table sides that have energy and desire and are like fighting for their lives. Nottingham Forest, another good example as well. Those are the teams that beat Chelsea time and again. And that's why I come back to the Palace thing. Palace, it's either a perfect time to play Palace or if Palace kind of turn up and make it a horrible game, Chelsea, I feel like there's a hubris and a sort of naivety and a softness to that group that is not going to go away after one game. Like, I don't see the leaders. And let I just me, don't see it.
Let me.
I'm doubling Doon.
Let me qualify then that in that I'm not suggesting that they're going to go on a run and finish in the top four or anything like
are
that.
Are you saying then, Flav?
I'm saying that if you give Pochettino enough time with this group of players, that they will be fine. I don't know what fine is. A challenge for top six next season, top four. But if you give him room to breathe.
Right.
And allow him just time with this team because there are quality players there. And they need to be in a situation. I think, I guess where I'm coming from is the problems at Chelsea aren't Pochettino. The problems probably aren't these group of players. The problem is Todd Boehly and the way he's gone about his business over the last 18 months. That's the problem.
I think the problem is the group of players in terms of a collective, right? I think if you had a few of them, and then you had some older guys and to sort of like work it all together, then I think it would make a lot more sense. But I think you've over-recruited in some areas. For example, Cole Palmer playing as a striker. You've got Nicholas Jackson, who is a striker, but doesn't seem good enough. So he goes out to the left. And I get it worked. It totally worked. But if you want to play Madueke, who you're saying is a good player.
Is he not a good player?
He's a great player. I think he's a great player. But again, this is where Todd Boehly's had an absolute stinker here. And I remember we've been speaking about this for a while now. And I think it's the reason it's good to keep talking about it is because you really don't know how it will age, right? But if you're going to... If Todd Boehly's asked someone, so what do? We buy old players or young players? And they've gone, oh, no, you buy the young players because the young players, then they go up in price as they get better. He went, oh, amazing, right. Let's get loads of them in. So you get Madueke and Cole Palmer... You pay 75 million on both of them. Both players who play on the right wing, you like to cut inside. You can't play them both. So if you can't play them both, you're only going to develop as an asset if you're developing, playing and reaffirming, one, the price that you bought for, or two, just your overall status within the Premier League. So how can Madueke and Cole Palmer both come to fruition when you spent that kind of money on those two, and then you've not got a proper striker up there, and you're playing best. And this last thing, sorry, because this is the video which we might still put out, but the last thing I'll say is kind of from the video, and it's kind of in my mind, is that who's Chelsea's best player?
Obama.
Right. Why is your best player playing out of position?
Yeah, because he has no choice. He hasn't been given the tools to do it. Jackson is not good enough.
Right. So that's why I'm like, I watched some videos this morning, and it's like Wolves, it's like, it's over, he's got to go. And I think that's too far as well. I think Poch has to take some responsibility, but it's the recruitment is just so, so bad. And the money that you're going to get back, coming back to the Conor Gallagher thing, which I think is really interesting. I was thinking about that and people going, you can't sell him for 40 million. You can't sell your captain for 40 million when he's been playing all season. I was like, you kind of need to, because like you say, no one's giving you 40 now for Gallagher. Why would you do that?
Yeah, they're in trouble again, all down to how Todd Bowley's running the club. But yeah, you're right. And the Spurs, if Gallagher is Tottenham, but whoever it might be, they're not going to go in there and now give them market value because they don't have to. Chelsea are going to have to bend. And, you know, they're in a difficult situation. But I don't think there's a better manager out there that could do a better job than Pochettino with this clusterfuck that he's got with him. If by like what do you gain by sacking him apart from a financial headache? You're not going to get another coach in that's going to transform this straight away. Mm. Why not be a little bit more pragmatic and take a back seat, look at the whole picture and go, we can understand why this is happening because of our recruitment and the type of profile of player we've chosen to bring in. Some players are not performing to the level that you'd expect them to individually. Enzo Hernandez. Fernandez. You've got Enzo midfield. You've got Caicedo not performing to anywhere near the level he was last year. But they aren't bad players. They're very good players. But there's this millstone around the neck about the money that was paid for them. That's the thing. So take a step back. Allow Pochettino to continue to work. Write this season off because nothing's going to happen anyway. And just see where you're at. Take stock in the summer if you have a moment's breath when you're trying to juggle this financial mess you put yourself in, and regroup and go again. That's what I would be asking for if I was a Chelsea fan. Thank the Lord I'm not, but that's what I think I'll be going at. So I would double down on Poch.
I get what you're saying. All I'm saying is this lingers for a while. Like, I just don't see how this gets fixed quickly. Because even say like I also think there's something in I was listening to another podcast quickly about Cobham, and it was saying that, sorry about Cobham, it's called Straight Out of Cobham. And they were saying, they're the guy at the game going, right, so this is the way it was after the Wolves thing. And he was basically saying how the fans had kind of turned on Poch like heavily. They were like, this is the most it's been. And also it's interesting, they were saying, they went after Raheem Sterling massively. There were sort of jeers at certain points for different players as well. I think that, again, the sort of identity crisis there at Chelsea is a weird one that we don't see, like, watching it on telly. In the ground, I think you've got a club that is, even in bad seasons, and again, I would not be surprised if it happens again this season where they get to two cup finals and have a season like this where it's been in utter disarray, but they still somehow win some fucking trophies because it's Chelsea.
Oh, mate, don't talk to me about that.
Well, yeah. So, but that is what Chelsea fans have had consistently, that even in the bad years, they get themselves trophies and it kind of works out for them. But they've always had... Yes, they've had these sort of academy guys coming through, but they've also always had those like incredible, strong, mentally senior pros, like to kind of keep it together. And that, again, I think is very, very difficult for this group unless there's a change in the sort of overall outlook of Chelsea. And I think Poch said this himself, where it's like, this isn't the team from 20 years ago. This Chelsea aren't the same Chelsea as they were before. Like, if Chelsea fans can get that out of their minds of, well, hang on.
But they can't. They can't.
Because
it's been indoctrinated in Roman Abramovich's Chelsea for so long. Mm. And to think, you look at it, it was all false. It was all... Everything that they achieved, bearing in mind these charges are coming as well on top of all of this stuff, the Abramovich's payments outside of football to get around financial fair play going back 10 years, as reported in The Guardian. By Rob Davies. I mean, this was well sourced and well researched, so you can only take it for. I don't think The Guardian would post lies about Roman Abramovich. But what I'm saying is the way they've achieved these things is by flouting the rules of football and the fabric of football, which, you know, Rory clearly loves. Were flouted they manipulated the game in order to gain an advantage. They cheated to achieve their successes, and with that, Chelsea fans have had an idea about what their football club is, and it's in actual fact not a real one, because you can't manipulate the rules and the financial to gain financial advantages and win. So essentially, they've got a false idea about what Chelsea have been over 20 years. But now, when they're looking forward to the future, they want that anyway.
But also, and I think all you know is your experiences, right? Or you are defined by experiences a lot of the time.
And absolutely,
so,
yeah.
That's always a thing where there's a difference between me and Rory, where it's like Rory knows that if you're ruthless, then you'll get the job done. And that's not a bad way of thinking. Like, that leads to trophies. Like, it's not working. Change it. And that's, I'm obviously, look, every different football fan looks at the club differently, you know, and Rory himself is not saying he's Chelsea fans. But I'm just saying that you say like all that stuff is not real. Those are those people's experiences, is trophy after trophy after trophy after trophy, even if it's, you know, legitimate or not. So that way of thinking, because I think this young group, you could go, well, look at Arsenal. They've kind of done it with a really young group. And Arsenal fans were difficult, I think, for a bit when it came to like their team and allowing their team to sort of thrive and do well. So wins will change a lot of it. But I think there's definitely an outlook at that group that like, oh, I can see what you're doing here and it makes sense. With this Chelsea team right now, and again, I think if you stick with Poch, like you say, sooner or later, surely he's going to go, this is how we play, off you go.
Yeah.
That outlook might change from the Chelsea fans, but I think it's far more ingrained in Chelsea than it was with Arsenal. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, look, can I just tell you something? Chelsea, like you said, it's this completely transitional, the whole thing. But if they finish eighth, that's the same as what Arteta did in his first season. They're currently five points off it. Arteta was given a lot of patience. Like, and fair play to the Arsenal board and the Edu and everybody running behind the scenes at that club.
Three cheers for them, right?
No,
hip hip.
No.
Come on, all of us. No. Hip hip. Hooray!
They gave him the patience that managers should be given, but they don't in modern age. So just take a leaf out of Arsenal's book. They did a similar rebuild in although theirs seems much more well thought out and deliberate. Like you said, James, you could see what was happening as it was happening. Whereas Chelsea, you're like, this is a mess.
But it's such a mess. And you know when you talk about like Osimhen as the striker or But where's that money coming?
They're not getting him. They're not getting him.
So this is what I'm intrigued to know what the next... I really need to find the right financial expert who can tell me how much are they spending? What does it look like the next few years for them? Because they're running out of academy products, because the academy products that they sell as well, they don't put in the team anymore. Like, where's Trevor Chalobah? Like Colwell, fair enough. Like, and Reece James, you want to sell him? They might. It all leads to them selling Reece James.
They could probably get away with it for the first this summer. They probably won't have to, but they may be getting into a situation where they have to look at Reece James as such a prime asset. He doesn't play that often, to be honest. I'm super injury prone. They may look at Reece James as like, well, we have to cut our losses here. But there is some sort of, if everything you've read about Chelsea's situation is true, there is no world where they can go out and spend £130 million on Osimhen. It can't balance the books that way unless they put every penny of the TV money they get in the summer that everyone gets into that Osimhen deal.
That's so dangerous, isn't it? It's so dangerous.
They're probably that risk averse to do it. But why? If you're Osimhen, do you want to go there? Do you want to go there?
I don't know, man.
What does a complete abandonment of their plan tell you about what's happening behind the scenes? Like like with Ange Postecoglou and Tottenham. The way he plays football is sometimes heart in the mouth and uncomfortable to watch, because it feels like we can concede at any minute, right? At the moment, that's that's what we're living through at Spurs. I don't want to change a single thing because this is his philosophy and this is how he thinks he's going to get success at Spurs. So let him do it. If he abandons it, we're in trouble because what is the idea? What is the plan? So you stick to the plan. If Chelsea then, my point is if Chelsea go to Osman and say, right, we're buying you, you're having a 3-year deal or a 4-year deal, and that's that. That's an abandonment of how Chelsea have been operating. I'm not saying learn from your mistakes. Don't learn from your mistakes. But they're too far down the line with this current system.
Oh, what? So you've got to stick with it? You think they've got to see it out?
They haven't got a choice, mate. They have to do it. They can't do it because they planned 8 years ahead. What? There's nowhere else for them to go. They can't sell these players. Because they can't... Enzo Fernandez...
If the club went, look, we've got a really young group here and we think Poch is the guy and Poch is going to be the manager for the next 5 years, just so you know. So we don't need to have any kind of conversation about things going well or bad. He will be our manager for the next 5 years because we believe he's going to get the best out of this crop. Do you think that would help the situation?
Yes. I mean, it would be the best play, in my opinion. Whether it would make things massively different, I think Pochettino will end up playing, getting a decent side out of Chelsea. What that is, where they will finish, I don't know. But I think they have to commit to that. They've committed to the 8 years for the players. They have to commit to a manager as well and say, look, nothing's going to change here. You guys need to make this work. Like, because they can't sell Enzo. They can't sell Caicedo if these players wanted to, because their market value is half what they paid.
Yeah. And not only that, they have to play them. You have to play both of them. They have to play and thrive.
James, have you ever heard of anything more crazy than this? Is they have to play the players, they cannot sell them, and they've committed wages for the next 8 years. They've also committed a £75 million spend per transfer window for the next 8 years on the players they already have.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this ever.
And they had Tammy Abraham, Mason Mount, Reece Jones, Brozier, Ian Matson, Levi Cole, all just fucking sitting there. Should we go spend some money? No, but I really want to spend some money. Well, no, but look, we've got all these lads. They're fucking unbelievable. But yeah, want to spend some money though, Todd. No, look, we've got all these guys. And let's see if these guys work out. They get to 25 and they're not good enough. We've got them on low wages because they're academy players. And we can sell them then and we get 100% profit. And then from there, we can make a smart decision, give ourselves a bit of time and really go for it. No, but I want to spend some money now.
On top of that, James, they would have kept that nucleus of Chelsea players, born and bred Chelsea players through the academy, incredible products. Incredible.
Incredible.
Chelsea fans would have a team. Incredible. Chelsea would have a team that they loved.
And would Chelsea fans would have jealousy, a team they love. And it would be the jealousy of the entire league. A team that can compete and is of your own. And they absolutely
What more does anybody
it.
Want?
They fucked it so they fucked bad. It. So
They've
bad.
Absolutely fucked it. Todd Bowley has. And that suggests to me, James, is that there's no one around him who is Chelsea, who knows about that football club. There's no one around him going, Todd, are you sure about this?
Do you want that as well? Like,
have you not seen
so
the boys?
Goals.
They're really good.
Mate, there's so many goals. Every fan of every club can tell you this, is that there are players that are, you're not sure if they're really good enough for you, but they care so much that they've got that 4% extra to make that final run because they don't want to let you down. You can't find that metric. That metric doesn't exist.
No.
Right?
What happened last night? There's evidence of that. They wanted it more, right? That's not a real thing.
More because it was about their ego by this point, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it's from real... That's why you play Wolves, Forest, Bournemouth, and I'm not trying to patronise them. I'm saying those guys want it more. They want it more than you, and they smell blood, and they're after you.
But that's what I'm saying. It's that it supports the idea that having those group of players that may not be as technically gifted as Enzo or some of the others, they give you that extra 4%. Which will get you over the line because they're not bad players. Conor Gallagher is an excellent player. Tomori is an excellent player. Colwell is an excellent player. These players aren't significantly worse. In fact, they're probably better than what Chelsea have.
And they're better.
And they're their own.
And they're hundreds of millions as a collective cheaper. It's so wild. They're all gone.
Apart from a couple, they're gone. And not only that, they're still trying to sell them. Conor Gallagher, you've got to go, mate. Sorry.
And yeah, that's the one. And the one guy who's got the grit for you, got to sell him.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Got to sell him on the cheap.
You're gonna because of this, you're gonna be bent over by your arch rivals, buggered until you get to be given Conor Gallagher.
Because that conversation is, and we should move on. But that conversation is, what we offered you 40, we're gonna give you 30 now, or probably you'd probably go 25, wouldn't you? And they go, well, no, come on, that's ridiculous. All right, 27.
We're gonna go five. Oh, come on, Daniel Levy. It's five. He said four. We nearly agreed 40. It was going to happen. Yeah, but it's not then, is it? Now,
yeah.
I'll tell you what. 6 million.
Yesterday's price.
And six. And can you just meow like a cat?
Yeah. Todd, where's Todd? Todd not going to be here? Can we get him on a call? I'd like him to meow for me. If you want to get this through?
He's you pillaged Brighton. So I don't have any sympathy. You went to Brighton, you pillaged them, and they're still above you in the league.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, there are other players as well. Another teams as well.
Yeah, but it's just fresh, isn't it? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Right, so players, final straight of the season, flop or not, essentially, this season, and kind of forevermore. Pascal Gross, Joe Sayers, got a Brighton podcast. No one doesn't rate Pascal Gross anymore. Okay, so I think we're all right with that. I don't think anyone said this
you just don't rate him as high as you do, Joe.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Trent Alexander-Arnold. Will...
See, I like this, because Thomas is an Everton fan.
Right, yeah.
Like this.
We need talking to apologize about another club. People hating on him last season. We need to double down that he's incredible. Hard to want to say as an Everton fan. Sorry. Whoa. Windy pops. As an Everton
a little
fan,
sick up.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was pure air. It was sort of, it was an upwards. It was sort of an inwards one more than an upwards one.
But I've got like some technical fan. Breakdown.
Yeah.
It's
more air. Trent, do we, in terms of 1 week bans, right? I've got a 1 week ban. I've got two actually, but one, say with Trent. Maybe not even a white ban, but just a general ban. Can we not talk about him defensively anymore? Like, is that like a rule? You know, there's like certain caveats with players that you can't really...
It's kind of boring.
I think it's enough now.
We know, right? Yeah, we know in the past he's had limitations on his defence. In his defence. His attributes were always, about going forward. Probably will end up playing as a six. Klopp, another genius move from Klopp, has essentially saved his reputation, because Trent was, like Thomas said, it was on the floor, his reputation. Not by Liverpool fans, but everyone has just gone, yeah, this is good. Trent's shit.
Yeah.
And in actual fact, technically beautiful. The way he strikes a ball, it turns me on.
Yeah.
In the same way, like, it is. It's just the way his technique is fucking insane. Like, it's poetry watching him play. And he's been incredible this season. And in like Klopp, another more credit needs to be given to him. And he's kind of identified this issue. and realised that actually by moving him into midfield or inverting him,
big time,
he's just given him a new license. It's just, yeah, unreal. He's unreal. Only Pedro Porro is better than him in the Premier League.
That's a marker pen before people start throwing things in the comments. I don't need that. I've had a thought. Somewhat phallic, isn't it? These children are like.
Are you shoving up your ass, James? Is that what?
No.
Absolutely
not. Right.
James, as soon as you turn the stream off, you're just like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everyone. Right, mate. I'll see you later, mate. Yep, see you later, mate. Are you still doing that? Are you? You're like bullshit days. I used to do the bullshit days. You still doing that? Yeah.
It gives you an edge.
Just gives me an edge. Keeps me on the edge of my seat. Literally. I think throwing it out there. So you know people talk about Trent in midfield. I think there's another position that Trent could play.
Ten. He could actually play anywhere, I think. But go on.
I think. Do I give it away because I think it's a video? I think I'm going to do a video on it. I think Trent. I was chatting to Cormac, who's a guy called has a Football Meta channel. Fantastic channel. Fucking great guy. And we were talking about Trent, talking about fullbacks. And I stumbled across the idea. I think he'd be a fantastic left back.
That isn't what I thought you was going to say.
I think he'd be a really good inverted left back.
Go on.
More coming soon. More coming soon. But yeah, I think Trent. Okay, here we go. In terms of, obviously he's not a flop, but in terms of him being the difference, doing the business, will he get Liverpool over the line? Will he be the difference this year?
No. No.
Will his
Man City
stock,
win the league?
Will his stock go up to a level
his
that
stock
he can
will
never
be
drop and never drop again?
It's like, look, individually you would say it probably can't get any higher than it is now, and he should be talked about as one of the best right backs the Premier League's ever seen already, probably. And he's still playing at the very top of his game. So I don't think he's at a stage, though, that his reputation is linked directly to how well his teammates perform. And if he can win the league, then it's like people get Ballon d'Or nominations or Ballon d'Or winners. It isn't really about individual performance. You have to be performed well or brilliantly in an excellent team. And if the teammates don't win the World Cup, Messi doesn't get the Ballon d'Or kind of.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's a bad example, but
no,
do you know
what
I mean?
It's like... So that's a good example with Trent, right? In terms of his ceiling as a player, is his ceiling high enough for him to be, you know, like they go, oh, and Beckham, of course, 99, he finished second in the Ballon d'Or. Probably should have won it. Like, there's that conversation, right? Certain players have that year, right? Jorginho, was it 2000? Didn't he get third or something ridiculous? But
yeah.
Is Trent good enough to be top three in a Ballon d'Or year?
Liverpool would have to win the Champions League for that to be a consideration, though.
Which they're not in. So they can't do it. What if they
No.
Quadruple? And he can win, and he's in this new role.
Maybe. You need to win the Champions League, though, right? You need to be in that, around that. Like Benzema won it. Would he have won it without the Champions League? If Kane scores the most goals of any striker in Europe, but they finish second and don't win the Champions League, he doesn't even make top five. Maybe.
I think who are the top three in the running right now? You'd have to say Bellingham. Bellingham, Kane are probably, are they the front two right now? Is anyone else doing it at that level?
Is there a conversation around it already then?
No, not really. I was thinking if an English player can't win the Ballon d'Or this year, something's gone wrong, I would say. You've got Bellingham, you've got Kane, you've got, I don't know, say Arsenal go and win it, you've got Rice, say Trent does what he does and is the difference, and they go and win stuff.
Did you just say Rice?
What about Arsenal? If Arsenal go and win, if Arsenal win the league and the Champions League, and he wins the Euros, then he's in the hunt, isn't he? Although I don't think he'd win it anyway because defensive midfielders don't get it. But you get what I'm saying.
I think it's all bollocks, isn't it?
Okay. Richarlison. Apologies a must, says Sam Cornish. Agreed. Is Richarlison officially good now?
Look, if you're having a conversation, I mean, we're going to probably talk about Havertz. But
I'll give you a minute on Richarlison, then we move on.
Okay, a minute. Richarlison, in since coming, so before, I don't know if people know, he was playing terribly at the start of the season. Anyone aware of that? He was being ripped to shreds by footballers with podcasts. You know, Troy Deeney, no, not Troy Deeney, Callum Wilson and Antonio laughing at him. And he got injured. He was away for 3 weeks in the middle of our injury crisis. You think, oh, brilliant. And he's come back and looks like a different player. He has scored 10 goals in 9 games in the Premier League. He averaged this season's average a goal or assist over 116 minutes. But more to, the most amazing thing is that, see, not even the most impressive thing about him. His overall impact on how Spurs are playing currently is crucial to anything good that happens. And he could make an argument for him being the man of the match in our last 3 games. And I genuinely thought he was barely a professional footballer. I've said that. I've said that fucking thing. I'm embarrassed by it. But I'm so happy to be wrong.
Do you know how ridiculous it is? And we kind of did it with Anthony the other day. We do it all the time. But like, and it'd be interesting, Anthony, if he'll ever come good as a flop or not. But Richarlison, for someone to cost someone else £50 million and for you to say someone's barely a professional footballer, just get away.
I couldn't believe it. I thought
that
is a mental thing to say, right? Yeah. Sorry, just it was 131 minutes. That's what he's average. Okay. Yeah, it's a crazy thing to me to say, but a good friend of mine, T, made a point the other day. He said, would anyone listen to a podcast if everything was just, oh, he might be okay, he's sort of doing okay, he's doing... You have to kind of be binary to some degree.
I agree. Can I ask you a question
I was cruel in my assessments of him, and he's been sensational and essentially has solved a £60 million problem we would have had in the summer because we needed another forward.
Does Son move over to the left?
Yeah, undoubtedly. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Oh, he'll play.
He'll play, yeah. Well, he'll play. Look, I mean, before Son was back on the left before he left for the Asian Games anyway. So it's not a massive change. Okay. But for the vacuum that was left by Son going to the Asian Games and us having no suitable backup to Richarlison, it was on him in that moment to show us something that he had absolutely been absent from his game, and that was any semblance of quality. He's in the right place at the right time. His hold-up play is fantastic. The fast build-up that we like, he's intrinsic to it.
And he works bloody hard.
And it may be form. It may be form, and it might drop off somewhat, but yeah, man, I'm definitely been down on that one.
Okay. We're going to get to Havertz. We'll just run through a few quickly, which I think are good. Pickford, McAllister, I don't think anyone was having a go at him, to be honest. Gordon is a good one.
Anthony Gordon's a great shout, but I don't care if it's a Newcastle fan saying it. I know everyone's talking about their own clubs, and I've just talked about Richarlison, but it's like, I don't know.
People need to, if it's going to be your, well, you've literally just spoken about Richarlison, you have to come cap in hand. Don't ask for apologies from everyone else. You have to come cap in hand.
Yeah, I'm apologising for Richarlison for what I said.
Ross Barkley felt like a risk. He's been unbelievable.
Unreal. Probably, look, he should be in the conversation for, and so should Rob Edwards if they stay up, for manager and player of the season.
Probably one of the most important players in the Premier League right now. And there's a video on the channel to prove it right now. Go check it out.
Can I just ask you a quick question? Is he more important than Saliba or less important than Saliba?
More important.
More important, okay.
It's the survival of it. It's the utter overall transformation of a football club rests on his shoulders. Whereas with Saliba, if he's not available, oh, they're in the Champions League again. and they should be used to bottling by now.
Nice. Neil Maupay. Oh, I now get it. Why is he such a dickhead? Like, I get getting an advantage. I understand winding up the opponents. I understand getting them off the game. You've got to do whatever you can because these are elite level players, right? Mm. But every game, why?
Yeah. Do you know what as well? I bet Brentford fan, I'd love to hear from a Brentford fan who was like, oh, because when those kind of players, like Richarlison, it's like, oh, he's a bit of a dick, isn't he? But he's our dick and we can't enjoy him. Yeah, and then those players then go and you go, oh, no, I get it. He's an arsehole. What a prick. Yeah. And then he goes, oh, shit, hang on. What's he doing? He's coming back. Ah! And they've got like, are you allowed to like him now or not? I mean, yeah, if I knew it would work. Yeah. I did know it would work. He'd go to Brentford and he'd score goals again. I knew that was going to happen because he wasn't as bad as he was just. It was just.
Well, Adam hates him. Adam hates him, doesn't he? Our mate Adam Rosenbaum, he's a Brentford fan. He says he's awful. Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, he's banging in the goals. Yeah. But yeah, he's. I mean, I think he will continue to be. He'll do better.
Second one will
do better.
Second, another one for McAllister. What? Have I missed something?
Yeah, I think
he's just literally won a World Cup in the summer.
I don't think anyone's having a go. McAllister. I'm not.
But why they keep putting him there?
I don't know.
Anthony Gordon's a good one though. He's so much better than I thought.
Yeah,
I thought they overpaid. I think Gordon's a great shout. He's another one though, isn't he? What I'd quite like to do one day is make the first 11 of the Premier League's arseholes. Because Gordon would be on the left.
Most irritable footballers. Yeah, we'll do that next week. That's good. Cole Palmer. I don't think anyone's saying anything wrong with him. No, so there'll be no apologises there. Caicedo. People assume he's extremely poor because of the price tag. Reality has been consistently good for Chelsea. That's not true. That's just not true. That's not true. Nicholas Jackson is one still. It kind of. There are people that he had a really good preseason. Everyone's going, watch this lad. Watch this lad. He's going to come good. And he's still not totally done it yet.
He hasn't done it at all. But they need to fix him.
Will Havertz come good? Will he come good? Will he be there? What could happen with Havertz, right, is this. It's like the overall numbers will be just creeping into the fine numbers, right? But he will score a really important goal that sort of alleviates the overall hatred or feeling that he's a rubbish signing. Despite him overall, and he played really well against Liverpool, he offered something very different for them. But I think in big games, I think Kai Havertz could be really useful up top. But I think in other games, I think he's still not totally there for me. And overall, so far, unless that goal comes, I think he will be considered a flop by the end of this season. But I think it'll be a bit like Darwin Núñez, not to the same level of love, but I think he'll recover. So somewhere in between Mudrik and Darwin Núñez in terms of flop recovery. That's even the thing.
But Liverpool fans like Darwin Núñez, don't they? So really, the opinions of other football fans are less relevant because they're backing him. They can see a player in there.
Yeah.
Whereas Kai Havertz seems to be kind of hated by a lot of Arsenal players. Fans I've spoken to, for example.
Yeah, they're not sure.
They're not sure about him. Hated's probably too strong.
Yeah.
But just what is he? Have they figured out what he is yet? Have we figured out what he is yet? Why was he bought?
I think he was bought to be an option up top if you needed him. Or a bit, but really, ultimately, kind of an eight that can go into different positions and affect the game. Not a Xhaka, but playing in a similar area. And he's not really done that.
He averages a goal or assist every 431 minutes. That doesn't sound very good.
It's quite different to Richarlison, isn't it?
Yeah, very different.
It was cheaper.
Look, if Arsenal, he was bought to help Arsenal win the league. Otherwise, why would they spend 60 million? If Arsenal win the league, then that has been a success. How much?
That's true. 75, I thought it was.
£75 million. No, euros. €75 million.
I know.
Like I said, though, is if Rice, you can't. And again, actually, I'm just going to say it again because it's true. The amount of money that Arsenal spent on that side is unreal. Insane, and more to the point, why they couldn't buy anyone in January, because it's now become evident.
Can I stop you there?
What?
I need a wee.
Yeah. Not really relevant, but the fact they've spent £105 million on a player is insane. Are you sticking it up your ass again, are you? Good.
Right.
That's interesting as well, as Ben Bowman talked about Jesus.
Is he good?
I would have said, if you would have said you can have Jesus or Richarlison, I would have 100% wanted Jesus.
Yeah.
But now, I don't know.
It's got to be the right system, isn't it? It's got to work for you. How many goals does Jesus score up top for Tottenham?
You'd have thought a lot, but probably not as much as Richarlison. Do you know how difficult it is to score 9 games on the bounce in the Premier League? 10 in total. Didn't Jamie Vardy do it? 11. He did 11.
Is that what Richarlison's done?
Yeah.
I had him in my FPL team. He's a midfielder in that, I think. In like when he was trash. And then he's just gone on a run. Well annoying. Right.
Fucking forgot about Timber. They've spent so much money. They spent 200 million in the summer. If they don't win the league, they're now like everybody, hamstrung by financial fair play. Spurs are not. Spurs are in a fine position. They've rolled the dice now, and brilliantly, by the way, that they've built something very, very good there. Unfortunately, for me,
sure they've done. They've rolled the dice, but there's nothing less than a 4 on the dice. That makes sense.
What's that mean? No.
So like, if you imagine a dice and it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? There isn't a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 1, 2, 3. There's only 4. There's 4s, 5s, and 6s on the dice. Because they've set it up for success.
What does that mean, James?
I'm just saying. I'm saying that right. If you think of Chelsea, Chelsea got a proper dice. Chelsea got a dice currently.
Yeah, they've got ones.
It's got two ones on it. Yeah, it's got 2 ones on it and a 2. It hasn't even got a 3. Just jumped straight up. Whereas Arsenal, you've got 3 4s and then the other ones.
Stephen Webster's a gooner. So not only does he lie about being a counsellor and a therapist, he also is an Arsenal fan. That makes complete sense.
Right, enough football chat. I'm calling it. Okay, we move. Sir, a couple of weeks ago, we didn't do a pod last week. Apologies for that, guys. But before that, we were talking about weird flexes. Someone had put in a comment saying that Rory said that he can do a whirlpool in a coffee or tea better than anyone on the planet. And so we asked you guys for your weird flexes. So still to come, we've got weird flex. We've got a couple of soldiers lost in battle from back in the day. That made a return, but we didn't do it last week. And nice. Some good, clean fun as well. So weird flexes. What I think is important to say here is, Flavie, do you want to call these or not? And then I think
I will if it is necessary.
Right. And secondly, I think I'd just like to see if these are real things. Let's see them. Let's see them next week. You've got a week.
Just on calling that, have you got the stuff about the vicar that went into the football?
Oh, yeah. I can get it. Yeah. I can find it.
Yeah, get it. Because I accused someone of lying. I can't even remember what the story was now.
Yeah, I'll find it.
And, all right, go on.
Okay. So, weird flex. Lucanicillo, 2052. My weird flex is an uncanny ability to meow like a cat.
Prove it, man. Go into my DMs and then do a slide. You can literally record the audio. There's no point just saying it on what you got a week. Lucanicillo.
Yes, yeah,
so Lucanicillo. If you don't, I never want to see your fucking face again.
Yeah. So we need proof.
Never want to see you again.
Max Morris. It seems like people like can make good sounds. He believes that I've got one of the best pigeon cooing impressions nationwide.
I would love to hear it.
This is what I'm excited about. And so these comments aren't that great, right? But we're setting ourselves up for next week where we see a man
I want to see. Max, my DMs are open. Slide in there and I want to hear it.
Well, I went on a stag do for my mate Craigie, and he's got a mate, Ben, who is unbelievable at doing an air horn sound. He just goes, See, I'm not as good, but he's amazing at it. And we basically spent the whole stag do just getting him to do it. However, it's only subject to pigeons from the West Midlands, as I have no knowledge of other pigeon coos around the globe. So hang on. So I'm calling it. Weird flex. I've got one of the best pigeon cooing impressions nationwide, you've said. However, it's only subject to pigeons in the West Midlands. So, no, you've got some possibly, not even proven, the best pigeon cooing impression in the West Midlands. And then once we've done that, we'll pass. Other people can do their pigeon coo and see if they can
send it. Send it into James Orr.
Yeah. Elliot Callender, Weird Flex. I've got a loud clap. I want to see it. I'd like to hear it. No need to slam my hands together like a maniac. Just natural technique. I've always known about this talent since primary school. And on the very rare non-football related occasions where clapping is acceptable, I will subtly let those around me know of this hidden talent, often to shocked and surprised reactions. I can't explain it.
I want to hear
Can't explain it. I tell them. Just maybe what I was put on this earth to do. To clap. Okay, Elliot.
Ollie's done it again, by the way.
So Ollie Sage is one of our patrons. My brother. He gets a bit lippy sometimes. Go on. What's happened?
Well, he just remembers shit about my life that I don't remember ever saying. But he has pulled it out of the bag here and he says, isn't my mate, my brother Joe... He might be listening to this, actually. He can measure things with just his eyes. Yeah, so we'd get pissed up, right? We'd go back to my brother's house.
Get your cock
and
up.
And then, no, we'd go, right, how big is that? Like, and he might pint at a cupboard. And he'd look at it and go, that's 56 centimetres. We'd get a ruler out. We would measure it. And he nailed it every single time. Every single time.
How long is this ruler? Speaking of which... getting your cocks out. If you do want to become a patron, we break down the Tom Garrett video. We're all behind you, Tom. Can we have a hand for
Tom? I might. No. On Patreon next week, I'm going to be shoving this up my ass.
Exciting. Quick. Sign up quick. God.
Was that imagine if there was just a massive influx of new patrons.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm calling him out name for name. I'm just going, guys.
I was...
What are you doing?
Flav said he was going to stick it up his arse. Then he has to stick it up his arse.
Yeah. I spent good money here. It was less than London Pint. I don't care. Promises of promise.
Up your arse.
Generic Zach, my weird flex is that I used to be able to push my thumb backwards towards to touch my forearm. I can't even remember how I found out I could do it. Actually, it's like to your forearm.
I remember kids, you could do that. It's not impressive. Okay. Not interested. No, not sorry, generic. It's like I've seen loads of kids do that.
Salvation's 96. Weird flex. I can sniff the air and figure out which animal left its mark just by catching a whiff of the scent of their poop. Well, let's see it, Salvation. Let's see it. I want you filming yourself, sniffing poo and pointing in a direction, going in that direction. No cuts. I don't want any cuts. And then finding the bird of prey or whatever it is. Okay. Jamon. Yeah. Says two bang average shouts for weird flex. I can wiggle my ears hands free. Let's see it. And I can make a fair. This is great. So, and to be fair to him, he has set it out. He said two bang average shouts for weird flex. The second one is I can make a fairly realistic helicopter noise with my mouth. Not even really hyping it up. Fairly realistic noise with my mouth. Francois, weird flex. I'm the best crow imitator there is. Okay. Let's see it. Gringo S star. My feet are pretty functional and I use them to pick things up when I can't be bothered to bend over. I used to be able to write with them. Don't think I could now. Well, let's find out. And last one, Matt Tomlinson. Weird flex. I just can't get thrown off. I just can't get thrown off by a bucking bronco.
Is that one of those machines, the ball?
Yeah. No matter how fast or aggressive they control it to throw me off, I always manage to stick on like a fucking limpet. I'm not proud of it, and it's almost humiliating spinning and jolting on this stupid fucking bull at breakneck speed. But when they stop the ride and concede defeat to me and the crowd watching applauds, I can't help feel a bit like John Wayne with a smug smile on my face. Only forwards. Prove it.
Let's see.
Right. So, okay, good, clean fun. I really hope this is true. I don't know if it is. So, Zach Wilson says, good, clean fun. As a boy, I used to watch Colchester United at their old ground, Layer Road. I went there once. There's about 2,000 fans you can get in there. Oh, hang on, where are we? In the 2000s. In the stands, there was a lad with Down syndrome that would watch and cheer every week. from every corner of the ground, you could audibly hear him saying, "The referee's a wine gum," as I believe that is what he thought the fans were singing. From time to time in unison, the whole ground would join in repeating the chant and even drew some waves and acknowledgement from the referees. He became a legend in the stands and people used to buy him packs of wine gums and bring them to the game for him. He loved it, the fans loved it, and even the referees loved it sometimes when they were in on the joke. Good, clean, wholesome fun. I Googled it and I couldn't find it. But I do hope that is true. And then last up, soldiers lost in battle. So you said let's bring it back. And people have put their stories in. So this is reasons why you've lost the game. I would like the opposite of a soldier lost a battle. I don't really know what that's called. But it's where you've navigated something to allow yourself to watch the football.
And it turned out to be the greatest game you ever saw.
Yeah, that would be good. Conor McLean, soldier lost in battle. I live in New Zealand. And so European games are in the morning for me. I always feel like, you know, fans turn their nose up at foreign fans sometimes. The fact they watch games in the morning.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother.
Crazy.
Sometimes I'm almost like it, like before 4:30 kickoff, I'm like, fuck it. Can't be bothered.
Yeah, that's going to push dinner.
Honestly, the Conte football last year, I was like, I honestly can't be bothered to watch this.
Mate. Ainsworth earlier in the season, I was like, I can't, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was panicking. In the ground, I was panicking. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I don't think I can do this anymore. Fortunately, the boys are back in town. Come on. The
boys are back in town. Mate, flying. Staying up. Jim, you staying up.
Joe Hodge, you little dancer. Come on, lads. Come on. If you stay up, I'll be so happy. Come on. Do you know what happened as well? Someone I respect this week said, oh, I saw Sheffield Wednesday. They look like they're doing quite well. Looks like you're down. I was like, well, don't say that to me. Why are you saying that to me? And then they lost 4-0. We pumped Blackburn. Do you know what I mean? Big game this weekend. Big. Take down Norwich City. Come on.
Jack Reeve,
if you see me, don't shake my hand. Because it's crazy.
You'll get your fucking teeth pushed through your fucking nose.
Exactly. Anyway. So as a Tottenham fan, I was watching the Champions League semi-final against Ajax on my phone at school during assembly. It was 3-0 Ajax on aggregate at half-time when I was caught by a teacher and made to put my phone away. The rest is history. Are you listening? Or are you doing that fucking thing you do? Tell me, if you need to look at your phone or something, just like, what do you think? I can see you looking down. For fuck's sake! I can't do this shit anymore. Why? Why? Just go, Jake. Wait a second. Just fucking say that. I'll cut it out.
I don't want to give you extra work. I'm in trouble. I've got a big, big problem that's just literally been presented to me on my phone. And
which you wouldn't have known about. You could have had a good 5 minutes, then fucking walk into that.
All the trains to London are fucked, and I'm not going to be able to get to TalkSport, I don't think. And I've had to let the producer know, because you're going to have to find someone else to go on live radio. And the sooner I can do that, the better. So I just thought if I could quickly do that while you were reading, that I might be able to...
Right, we're 5 years in now, though. Can I just explain the pattern that happens, right? I read the comments... Then you speak and react to... When have I ever gone, right, shut up now, because I've read this out, which I've read before. Just let me talk about it. Fucking hell.
Sorry, James. I apologise. It's not, but...
you've done it again, haven't you? Right, that's poor. You've got shit to do. I get it. Other soldiers lost in battle here. Won't be reading them. What's the point? I've read it already. Why would I read it out again? Seems silly, isn't it?
I love you, James. I'm so sorry. I'm incapable of doing more than one thing at once, and I got distracted by this massive problem that I've got.
Just give me a heads up. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what you need to do? You need to get. You've got the biggest. Right, take the camera off and show people your monitor. Show people your monitor. Right, I'm going to show you a trick. Right. Fuck you. Right.
I can't, the lead.
Okay, right, you can see it, right. You can see, we can see the monitor, okay, right? Right, you ready?
That is a match.
See that space on the right? You see that space on the right? Put fucking WhatsApp up there.
I do have WhatsApp. Watch.
Right, great. Fuck. Somebody's got to change here, mate. Somebody's got to change here.
Sorry, James.
All right, I'm off. That's it. See you next week, maybe.
I love you, James. Don't go.
See you later, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.